What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Wednesday, July 19th, 2017, middle of the weekday, hump day, starting that long, slow glide down to Pauhana Friday, and another weekend of whatever it is they're going to think of to mess up next. Okay, a lot of stuff to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble. Ready to answer the phone when you call on in. Couple of quick program notes. Our third hour guest today is Charlie Robinson. He's an author. He's got a new book out called The Octopus of Global Control, talking about the New World Order, globalism, this desire to drag the human race back to a feudal state where the elites own everything and we toil our lives away for their lords and ladyships leave to simply exist. And we'll be talking about that. Friday, the lovely Lady Claire will be with us as usual here. So getting on into the news here, the Obamacare ping pong ball is going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. They were going to vote to repeal and replace. That didn't work. Then they were going to vote to repeal. That got called off. They can't get the support. Donald Trump is basically out there saying this Congress can't do anything. And he's absolutely right. This is the most unproductive Congress in the last 164 years. And they are running out of excuses for not accomplishing anything at all. And it is rather disheartening to see the political leadership putting their partisan infighting above the needs of the country itself. Of course, there's an upside. The less Congress is doing, the less harm they're actually going to be able to cause out there. Donald Trump has now backed off demanding a repeal, at least for the moment, saying we're just going to let Obamacare fail. Meaning nothing will change. It's going to go on the way it is now until the whole system collapses, which could, in theory, take years. Then all of a sudden, we got this news that President Trump is saying Congress should not leave for the August recess until they pass the new health care bill. And so Mitch McConnell is now saying that the vote on health care is again on for next week. And this time, they really, 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 really mean it. Now, Rand Paul is out there saying that any Obamacare-lite replacement is just another establishment scam, and the only thing it's really going to do is choose whose pockets the loot is pouring into, and it will give the Democrats a chance to shift the blame for the mess onto the Republicans. You know, you got rid of Obamacare. This is Trump care. If it's not working, oh, it's Trump and the Republicans. Now, apparently, down in Virginia, one of their senators is saying there does need to be a vote fraud investigation because something really big is starting to surface. So far in Virginia, they showed 5,556 non-citizens illegally registered to vote, and they in turn cast 7,474 votes. A Pew study found that over 1.8 million dead people were registered as voters, and 2.75 million people are registered to vote in multiple states. And it sounds like something does need to be done. And, of course, we now have these 14 states that are out there absolutely refusing to turn over voting data to Trump's Voting Integrity Commission, even though under federal law they are required to keep all voter information and surrender it to federal authorities on demand. So clearly, they've got something to hide. Now, last election day, it's come on out that down in South Carolina, their voter registration system was hit with nearly 150,000 hacking attempts, according to a recently released state study. And the State Election Commission found that all these hacking attempts occurred on November 8th, trying to break on in and change things around there. Election fraud is not something that happens rarely or occasionally. It's the permanent state. And it was so funny last year when Donald Trump came on out and said, you know, there's a possibility of election fraud going on here. And Obama comes out and says, it's absolutely impossible to rig the American elections. And then, of course, Hillary lost. And the first thing they said is, oh, Russia was rigging our elections. Russia's rigging our elections. And they go back and forth. And now that Trump wants to actually look at it, and it is as his authority as president, he's got that right. And now all of a sudden, 14 of these states are saying, we refuse to give you the data. The dog ate the voter records. I'm sorry, we can't give them to you. Now, do you remember Guccifer, the hacker who broke into Hillary Clinton's email server and said he found at least 10 other foreign IPs prowling around looking at information? And then he sort of went away, and nobody actually knows what's happened to him. Then there was Guccifer 2.0, and apparently information is starting to surface that, like the Russia-Trump collusion, Guccifer 2.0 was a creation of the Democratic National Committee and the Hillary campaign. They needed a hacker that they could say, oh, this guy was working for Russia. Remember when they caught that hacker in Europe and the FBI went on over and said, we'll get you off the hook for the charges. We'll bring you to the U.S., make you a citizen, give you a bunch of money. All you have to do is confess that you were hacking the U.S. election system on behalf of Russia. And to his credit, the hacker said, no, I don't want to do that. Maybe he's thinking about all these people who cooperated with the Clintons and then when they were no longer useful, wound up dead in a suburban Washington, D.C. park. So through his lawyer, he put out the story saying, yes, the FBI asked me for a false confession of hacking the election on behalf of Russia, and I turned them down. We're going to do a quick shout-out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. Now, among the other documents that WikiLeaks is letting out, there's a PDF. It's linked to the front page of whatreallyhappened.com, and the title of it is Troops, Trolls, and Troublemakers, A Global Inventory of Organized Social Media Manipulation. And this is a very scholarly work that basically tracks the evolution of online propaganda, how it originally started out where various political campaigns would have a few staffers that were out there trying to control social media or break into opposition websites. Now it's become big business. There are companies that's all they do, is they plant people on social media to try and control the discussion there, cause trouble, and it's big business, along with the hacking of websites and so forth. Now, Sean Hannity is out there doing his best to try and revive public awareness of the Clinton scandals. Corporate media has been going, Russia Trump, Russia Trump, Russia Trump, Russia Trump, Russia Trump, and now Hannity's out there saying, look, if you're going to have equal justice under the law, you have to reopen Hillary's email case now, and I'm fully on board with that one because there is still a very important unanswered question behind that. Given the Clintons' past history of Chinagate back in 1994, it is reasonable to ask if Hillary Clinton was, while serving as Secretary of State, selling U.S. secrets to foreign interests using her weak private email server to deliver the information and her so-called charitable foundation to collect and launder the payments. Because a lot of foreign money came into that foundation. That foundation only spent 6% of its revenues on actual charity, for which it should have its 501c3 status revoked, and the Clintons personally made liable for the taxes on all that money. That's an important question. It needs to be asked, and it deserves an honest answer. Now, remember, there was a story that came out in 2015 where the IT firm that backed up Hillary Clinton's emails on behalf of the Colorado firm that took over the server after it moved out of her house apparently had the emails stored on a cloud storage system designed to optimize data recovery. This is a company called Datto Incorporated. They had all the missing emails, and apparently in 2015, they turned them all over to the FBI. Now, a Republican Senate committee chairman back in 2015, Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson, asked the firm to provide the committee copies of any data from Clinton's account still in its possession. The important message here is apparently the FBI, under Comey, made all of these copies of the emails just go away. Remember, I said they have to be out there somewhere. Comey was protecting Hillary Clinton. That much was obvious. And the FBI was given copies of all those missing emails, and then it all disappeared. All right, we're going to grab a phone call here. Mike in a cabin someplace. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mike, I'm thinking about energy today and Trump's energy plan.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, you know, we have a big pipeline going here north to south through Alaska.
Yes.
But it's basically empty. And I'm thinking that we need to really open up some of these areas, not all of these areas, and fill that puppy back up, and then also put it through Canada. We have a very short segment between the Alaska Railroad and what's existing already in Canada. So I would like Trump to revisit that, and also, you know, the Canadians were going to build that heavy port in Vancouver for their oil, their tar sands oil. And we need to start with energy to bring back the manufacturing. I think that is Trump's agenda.
Well, it's an important part of the infrastructure here. The problem is, are they actually getting the volume of oil and gas out of the tar sands they thought they were going to get? The last I heard, all of these tar sands and shale projects were coming up short. They weren't getting anywhere near the volume of usable product that they had the experts had predicted before they started this whole mess.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of economics on which forms of, you know, oil production is the most economical. I mean, the best is, you know, Saudi Arabia. They stick a straw in the sand and they get it out. But tar sands is pretty dirty and inefficient. But, you know, we have to get the energy rates down, because we have the second highest kilowatt hour rate here. I think you have the highest in Hawaii. Is that right?
It's fairly high, and it fluctuates on the basis of fuel prices. But again, the kilowatt hour price, it's not just the cost of the fuel. It's the amortization of the cost of the electric generation plant and various other costs associated with it. And a lot of the higher costs can come about through fiscal mismanagement by the company's executive board. So it's a complicated issue, and just lowering the price of the fuel oil may not have as much of an impact on your electricity cost, depending upon how expensive that initial power plant was.
Yeah, and I saw China is at four cents U.S. per kilowatt hour, I believe, residential. And the commercial is always a little bit lower. Now, that doesn't explain their manufacturing base completely, but pretty important little aspect there. And I think that if we really develop that, some manufacturing could either start or come back, not all. And then what Trump is doing with this Poland and talking to them about natural gas and things like that, I mean, if I was Russia, I wouldn't want them. I used to live over in Ukraine, Eastern Europe, and they're always fighting. You know, they're always turning off these gas lines and these gas pumps. Who can pay? Who can't? Basically, the Germans can pay and the Russians have it. Everyone in between is, you know, trying to take some out of the pipe and do their own things with it. But if the U.S. had ships going that direction with LNG or oil or whatever they need, you know, that would be for Trump to be a Russian agent and then be the energy man who says, hey, Europe, want some of what we've got? That would be the worst. That would be blowing up in your face. That would be the epitome of
it. Okay, I understand what you're saying here, but I want to back up here, and then I want to get back on the current news here.
Sure.
To revive America, you can't just simply say we must do this first and the rest will follow. It really doesn't work that way. It's all going to be built up together. We start reviving manufacturing with the available electricity that we have right now, and then as manufacturing grows, we develop the energy infrastructure to support the growth of the manufacturing. One of the ways in which our country has really suffered greatly, and we see that no place more than our road system, is the infrastructure has not been enlarged to match the growth in population. And we certainly see that with the roads out here in Hawaii, which are still running on the volume of traffic as it was back in the 1960s and 1970s. And as a result, now we have tremendous congestion problems, which they're hoping the light rail is going to solve. I'm not that optimistic about it. So we're going to have to build them all up together. Anyway, Mike, it's a good thought there. We're going to have to let you go here. Thank you very much for the phone call. Getting on back to our domestic political news. As you know, following Donald Trump's electoral victory, Maxine Waters got on board this resist campaign, Resist 45, and she's been out there stumping and trying to get everybody out there to just oppose Donald Trump. And apparently her fundraising efforts on behalf of Resist 45 have been, for lack of a better word, abysmal. and she's out there attacking Trump for his bigoted travel ban, which has since been upheld by the Supreme Court. And again, it wasn't based on race. It was based on location. And then she's out there attacking Donald Trump for his support of President Putin, even as Putin continued his invasion of Korea. And no, I'm not misspeaking. That's actually what Maxine Waters said, that Vladimir Putin had invaded Korea. So I'm starting to wonder if maybe we do need competency tests to be in the United States Congress. When you look at some of the things Maxine Waters is saying and Nancy Pelosi's been saying, it's really silly. Now, there is a new wrinkle that's coming on out. Apparently, there is concern, this is coming from the Political Insider, that U.S. Postal Service employees broke the law by supporting Hillary Clinton. And we know the Democrats were bringing in foreign ringers to boost their voting polls. They were using government employees to do the same, even though it's a violation of the Hatch Act. And apparently the Office of the Special Counsel has released a report suggesting that the U.S. Postal Service Union broke the law by asking the postal employees to do work on behalf of the Clinton campaign in 2016. Now, normally, federal employees are allowed to engage in political activism when they're away from their place of work. But the union, in telling the employees, you have to go work for Hillary Clinton, stepped across a very critical line. And again, it's another verification. Hillary doesn't believe in playing by the rules. Now, let's get on back to this Donald Trump Jr. nonsense, because it's rapidly starting to fall apart. Interest continues to center on this so-called Russian lawyer, Natalia Veselnitskaya. And email leaks from the State Department are showing that she has far more ties to the U.S. State Department than she does to Moscow. Now, remember, her so-called Moscow office has turned out to be little more than a shell. It doesn't have a website, doesn't have a phone, doesn't have anything working in there. It's there to have the address, yes, I'm in Moscow. And now Natalia herself is saying that she was set up and lured to that meeting by Magnitsky Act lobbyist Bill Browder. So this whole thing was a manufactured event. They manufactured a compromising meeting so they could scream Donald Trump Jr., Russia, 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 Russia. And now Natalia is saying that she's concerned for her life and her family, given how people who don't do what the Clintons want them to do exactly what keep winding up dead under strange circumstances. And again, all of this is starting to just wear out to the American people. The corporate media has pushed this too much. The Hillary people pushed it too much. Latest poll is showing just 6% of Americans still think the Russia story is important. Not that they think it's true or false, just whether they think it's important or not. 94% of Americans don't think it's important. They're sick and tired of hearing about it. More information coming on out about Seth Rich, one of the aforesaid people who gets on the wrong side of the Clintons and winds up dead. Apparently, the FBI has been caught fudging some of the information. And one of the things they did was change the time officially reported for a break-in and weapons theft of an FBI vehicle, which happened after Seth Rich was killed. They've changed the time officially to before he was killed. And apparently there was a surveillance film that exists for the break-in incident in the car, and that has disappeared. And again, we know that there is a cover-up of some kind for one very simple reason. The official story is Seth Rich died in a botched robbery, and yet the police still have Seth Rich's laptop computer and will not return it to his family. So you just think about that one for a little bit. Now, turning on over to the war zones, emphasis on the plural, Hayat Tahrir al-Sham clashes with Arar al-Sham in Idlib province over there in Syria. And again, overall, the Syrian government forces are gaining ground. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Hi, folks. Let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply and, of course, the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game. At the top of your game with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And Turkey has gone on out and basically leaked the secret location of U.S. troops in Syria, ramping up the tensions between Ankara and Washington, D.C. And basically, the state news agency in Turkey divulged the locations of 10 U.S. military bases and outposts in northern Syria, two of which were supposed to be top secret. Needless to say, the Pentagon is very angry after Turkey leaked out this information, and they're saying it's hard not to see this as an FU from Turkey. Yeah, I can see where that might be the perception there. Meanwhile, article coming out of Novonight.com, satellite photos are revealing the long-term U.S. strategy for Syria. All these bases that are going on in, and basically, there is a huge military base the United States has built in the northern part of Syria near the city of Kobani. And it's now used as the main logistics base of the U.S. military in Syria. All of this without the permission of the Syrian government. And what it is indicating is that the United States government plans to remain in Syria even after ISIS and Al-Qaeda, the supposed reason for the U.S. to intervene, are long gone. Now, this whole situation over the Russian diplomatic properties has unraveled. It looked like the U.S. was going to say, we're going to give you back your properties and try and smooth things over. Then the U.S. came out with a bunch of demands, which Russia couldn't accept. Lavrov is saying the U.S. government is acting like a bunch of gangsters, and he may be closer to the truth than he realizes when you look at the narcocracy at the heart of it all. But apparently CNN reported late Monday that the Russian government was almost at a deal on getting back their property. The Russians rejected the report, saying that the U.S. must return the seized property without any conditions on it. And it's interesting to see the corporate media here right now, because it's still all about the 2016 U.S. presidential election campaign. That was the reason Obama seized these diplomatic facilities and ejected 35 Russian diplomats. And do you remember back when there was that whole idea where the Earth was actually the center of the cosmos and nobody dared challenge that prime assumption, and everything that followed, all the discussions, all the debate, all the math and everything, had to be centered around that fiction? We're seeing exactly the same thing today with the corporate media, with that idea that Russia hacked the election. That's become the prime article of belief, not to be questioned, around which all discussions and articles are going to be framed. And, of course, remember that whole Earth at the center of the universe is history's longest-running scientific goof, and this is just another one. The attitude is, this is given as an absolute fact beyond question. Well, yeah, I question whether the Earth is the center of the solar system. I question if Russia hacked the election. There doesn't seem to be any evidence in favor of it, and quite a bit of evidence against it. But again, as Mika Brzezinski said, the job of the corporate media is not to give you information and facts. It's to control what you are thinking. And I don't know about you, but I resist the idea of having somebody else control what I am thinking. I sort of dig my heels in on that one, and so should you. Russia has started delivering more humanitarian aid to Yemen. They're bringing in food, medical supplies. Basically, according to a United Nations report, 60% of Yemenis, 17 million people, are currently in crisis or emergency food situations. They are being starved to death by the Saudi blockade. And apparently the U.S. government is fully on board with this. This is collective punishment. This is a war crime. It's genocide. When enough people starve to death, it becomes a genocide. So Russia and Putin are trying to alleviate the suffering of these people. They're sending in food and medical supplies while the U.S. sends in more bombs and bullets. But, of course, we can never see Vladimir Putin as a good guy. And so over on the Express, they ran this absolutely desperate, pathetic article to try and demonize Vladimir Putin, saying that he likes to take baths in blood extracted from deer antlers. And they're saying it's an ancient Russian tradition to drive the testosterone, which he does seem to have a lot of. And again, it's just out there saying, oh, look what he does to these poor deer and everything. Now, I don't know about you. I've hunted deer in my distant youth. There's not a lot of blood in those antlers. They're just making this stuff up. They're scraping the bottom of the barrel to demonize Vladimir Putin. We'll be right back with a phone call.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux is really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Nutramedicals Power C Plus is the greatest important breakthrough in vitamin C technology since Linus Pauling. It is the only neutral pH vitamin C in the world as a calcium, magnesium, potassium, sodium ascorbate salt with bioperin, a black pepper extract, to increase absorption by 40%. When you take Power C Plus, it helps to alkalinize all the cells of your body instantly, raise the oxygen level and energetic level of cells, suppress cancer and inflammation in your body, and help you fight infections. Power C Plus also helps to build up the collagen in your body, hyaluronic acid in your joints, and the glycosaminoglycans in your joints, as well as to improve healing of any tissue in your body. Power C Plus is very unique at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com, where you can order, or 888-212-8871. That's NutriMedical, NutriMedical.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're going to go to the telephones. Jeff in Minneapolis. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Okay, well, I'd like to talk about this case where the lady called the police and was murdered behind your house.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm a taxi driver for like 35 years. And over the last 15 years or so, the Somalis have basically moved in and they're everywhere in Minneapolis. And they've taken over the taxi business. And there's a problem because if a lady walks, you know, somebody works downtown and comes out of their job at 8 o'clock at night and walks up to a line of taxis and goes to the first taxi and says, I'd like to go home. And they're mentioning an address in Minneapolis to a licensed Minneapolis taxi that's lined up in a cab stand by the city of Minneapolis and says, you know, I want to go here. And it's like $8. And the driver says no because that's not good enough for me and has an outburst, like, get away from me. You know, what do you think? You've got to go for $30 or $40 or the airport. And most women now, they don't even try the second cab, or they'll wave at a cab that's going by the other way. And or a lot of them use Uber. And so there's this cultural thing. And here's the deal.
Well, hold it. That is hardly unique to Somali drivers. I mean, we see the same thing here in Hawaii, where, you know, if you hail a cab and you're only going a couple of blocks, they're really not interested. They want to go to the airport or come back, and we don't have a lot of Somalis here.
In the taxi line, though, the rules are you can ask them where they're going and say, fine, hop in and let's go. Or you can say, no, I don't want that ride because I've got to go pick up somebody a different part of town. And then it's their obligation to drive away to let the next driver be the first in line. But they won't move. And we have a problem where if a lady is gigging a ride home, and most of the business is medical charge accounts, taking someone home from a clinic to their home, and the map, if you use the GPS, takes you right to the door of the apartment. But a lot of drivers won't use that. And the lady will say, stop, that's my apartment building. And they won't stop because they refuse to take directions or corrections from a woman driver. And you see,
that sounds to me like there's an enforcement issue there. I mean, if the state is or the city is going to have a government-controlled taxi operation, they're not doing a very good job about it.
The few old American drivers call it the Somali exception, because the cab business is at its bottom line a scheme to rent cars by the day or week. And they're not really driving the cab more than just kind of as a hideout or a dodge. And anyway, we have a real problem here in the cities because people can't get served. I know of a lady that goes for dialysis 3 days a week. She has to be on the machine for 3 days, and she's waiting an hour to two to get picked up and missing most of her appointment. But the business is renting cars, and that's going great because they have oodles of money. And a lot of it is because they can't get or hold a job or don't want to hold a job. But this thing
that doesn't apply here, okay? It sounds like you're calling up and you want to bash the Somalis because the taxi cab business is kind of in a mess. But in terms of this Officer Noor, who did the shooting, he actually had a very high-paying career before he decided he wanted to be a police officer. And he took a major pay cut to move over and be a police officer. In fact, that's what broke up his marriage, because his wife had gotten used to his very fine salary and all the perks and living fine. And he said, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to be a police officer. And he went and did that. So we're not talking about somebody who's just sitting and doing nothing. This guy was motivated enough to have this high-paying career. And then he was motivated to become a police officer. So I don't think you can compare the two.
But he pulled out his weapon and shot right across the lap of his partner into this lady that was probably leaning down and talking. You know, like they said, the guy should have gotten out of their car and talked to the lady outside the car. But he basically shot across the lap of his partner and shot this lady right in the belly.
Well, again, that's why I want to know if this officer was on prescription antidepressants, because behavior that is just so... makes so little sense. You do find it in these individuals who are using, these SSRIs or coming off of them, where just they'll be fine one moment, and all of a sudden they'll just get an impulse and they'll go with it. And I think it's a very important question here. Now, the city of Minneapolis is now trying to claim that he may have been responding to the sound of fireworks nearby, forgetting, of course, that fireworks are illegal in that state. And who would be setting them off this far away from July 4th? Anybody who smuggled in illegal fireworks would have used them on the 4th. So I think they're looking for some kind of a reason to try and get this guy off. And as of right now, though, he's refusing to talk to investigators.
And we're going to have the Super Bowl here this year. Come on down, and it's going to be a mess because we're not ready for it. With our infrastructure is because all the money for the normal things that the city should have do has been diverted to take care of the newcomers.
No, I understand. That's true all over
The media won't talk about it. You know, I've talked to reporters, and actually one calls me, but to say, this is too hot, we can't touch it. And what happened is, years ago, they had Somalis driving around the courthouse for hours, which got a lot of media attention, and so the city kind of backed down. It's a mess here. It really is.
And, I agree, but I think the problems in general with the refugee open border program, I don't think that they apply here. Because this particular individual, like I said, he's the kind of immigrant that you would want to have. He came in and he had this high-paying, highly skilled job, and then all of a sudden he decided he wanted to be a police officer. And so he literally gave up his high-paying job to become a police officer 2 years ago. He was apparently applauded by the mayor of the city, and there was apparently a couple of complaints against him, one of which appears to have been politically motivated. But for the guy to just be sitting there and all of a sudden, with no provocation whatsoever, pull out the gun and pull the trigger on this, again, I have to ask, was this guy on prescription antidepressants? That's the only thing that makes any sense to me at all. Anyway, listen, Jeff, I'm going to let you go. I need to get back to the news here.
Care.
Thank you very much for the phone call. Okay, now, as you know, Russia, the United States and Syria hammered out a ceasefire deal for a portion of Syria down toward the south. And Netanyahu started stamping his feet, rolling around on the ground, kicking and screaming, saying, no, 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 you can't have peace unless you make me happy with the deal. And Konstantin Kosachev, chairman of the Federation Council's Committee for International Affairs, is basically saying Netanyahu is going to have to learn how to live without a war against Syria. Now, Israel's motives are, of course, very obvious. They want that Golan. They've been functionally in control of it for a long time, but they're very concerned that Syria is going to say, we want our land back. And that's why one of the reasons why Netanyahu wanted Assad gone, because whoever was going to be installed as the new puppet ruler would be told simply, you will let Israel have the Golan. That's part of the price of you getting to sit in that center seat. And so that's what's going on down there. Now, Netanyahu, like Maxine Waters, like Nancy Pelosi, is starting to show his age, and he's starting to make some really bad goofs, because apparently he had an incident with an open microphone where he came on out and admitted Israel is carrying out dozens of attacks against arms convoys in Syria, and was oblivious to the fact the remarks were being picked up by a live microphone and relayed to reporters. And even more embarrassingly, during that same session with the open microphone, Netanyahu basically just launched a withering attack on the European Union, saying that the European Union will wither and die if it does not change its policy toward Israel. And that is not going to make anybody happy up in the EU. Even Haaretz is running an editorial saying Netanyahu is finished. Apparently that corruption charge is just too big to ignore, too big to bury. And a lot of people in Israel, both ordinary citizens and even within the government, think Netanyahu has been there way too long. And he's caused Israel, and for that matter, the Jewish people of the world, a lot more harm than good. Meanwhile, the clashes are continuing at the Temple Mount complex. The IDF are thankfully using rubber bullets, but 30 people have been injured in the clashes since Israel decided to restrict access to the Al-Aqsa Mosque, supposedly in response to a Palestinian attack. Now, over in Iran, as you know, Trump wanted to kill the P5+1 deal. Then he came on back and he recertified it. And he followed up with more sanctions against Iran over Iran's missile development program, which was never a part of the P5+1 deal. And, of course, the IAEA is saying Iran is in full compliance with the P5+1 deal. The United States is not. They have not removed all the sanctions that they promised they were going to remove. They're just adding more sanctions on top there. So the Iranian president is saying that there's going to have to be a response of some kind to all these new sanctions. And that may be Iranian sanctions against the United States. But all of these sanctions are going to do is drive Iran even further into the Russian-Chinese sphere of influence. I don't know who in Washington, D.C. thinks that if we slap around a country hard enough, they're going to start to love us. Because they're not. And the Iranian government is out there saying right now the new sanctions are the biggest threat to the P5 plus one. And maybe that was Trump's move. More sanctions, get Iran to pull out of the P5 plus one deal, make them the bad guys. Now, the commander of the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, Major General Mohammed Ali Jafari, has said if the U.S. wants to pursue further sanctions, then maybe the U.S. ought to start moving their bases at least 1,000 kilometers from Iran, pointing out the fact that there are no Iranian bases sitting on U.S. borders. Meanwhile, Iranian officials are sending a message back saying, stop worrying about us. Your government is about to collapse. And I agree with them on that one. In fact, all of this warmongering and threatening in all these other countries may be a desperate attempt by the central federal government to distract Americans from the very obvious signs of an impending collapse. Pay no attention to the crumbling infrastructure and the hunger and the homelessness and all the rest of it. We've got to glare at the Russians and the Iranians and the Chinese and the North Koreans and whoever else we're going to put on our special high-interest targets list. Wouldn't be the first time in history where a country that was on the verge of collapse distracted their own people by threatening or getting into a war. And it didn't work out very well there. Meanwhile, as you know, we have been hearing about these ongoing border incursions between China and India and how India has retargeted some of their nuclear missiles away from Pakistan and toward China. So we're seeing this article today out of antiwar.com where China is saying they are ready for a long-term war with India. And Chinese forces are holding an increasingly large series of live fire training drills in Tibet, reflecting the soaring tensions with India. There are way too many people in positions of power in this world who see war as their best option out of the mess they have created. All right, let's take a phone call. Ramsey in Canada, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, sir. How are you?
Fine.
See, sir, I have a question about that police officer. He said that he might have been on antidepressants or drugs or whatever.
No, I'm saying it's a question we need to ask because we know those drugs are dangerous. We know that police, on average, take more of them than ordinary citizens. And it's important to understand because what he did makes absolutely no sense at all unless he just had an impulse he couldn't control.
But, see, sir, here's my question I want to ask you. When a person becomes a police officer, doesn't he have to go through the training and do a medical and a physical test and a blood test and all that?
Yeah, but if a doctor has prescribed these antidepressants, he's allowed to take them. See, that's the problem. These medications are very profitable, and so the idea that they might be dangerous is downplayed, and they are officially allowed for police officers to use them. Like I said yesterday, Congress actually held hearings about the dangers associated with prescription antidepressants, and they chose to do nothing about it because those pharmaceutical corporations write very generous campaign donation checks every election season. That's literally what it comes down to. The health and safety and security of the American people is subordinate to the need for more campaign contributions with which to hang on to their jobs. We may literally be drugging ourselves into the edge of insanity. If you look at all the bizarre behavior we're seeing all across our society, just things that we never saw when we were younger, and you're wondering, what's changing? Are we all collectively going crazy, and is it, in fact, pharmacological?
But see, sir, I don't remember any time recently that a police officer did such an act like that.
There have been a lot of cases where police used excessive force, and it was kind of a gray area. And people were saying it really wasn't justified. There's been a lot of that going on. In this case, it is just clearly there was absolutely no question that this woman in her pajamas presented no threat whatsoever to the officers. Obviously, the driver of the car didn't think she presented a threat. And so this officer, Noor, just pulled his gun and shot her point blank in the stomach and killed her. And now he's refusing to talk to investigators.
Okay, thank you.
All right, we're going to let you go. Thank you very much. No, there is an issue. There is a question. I mean, look at it this way. Look at all the chemicals corporations put in your food to make you eat more and buy more so that they can make more money, even though it's causing an obesity epidemic in this country. So the fact that they would sell drugs that are actually making us violent, as long as it makes money, they're going to go ahead and do it. We're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder, what's a guy on Main Street to do? I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. But I must admit, lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate. I want to do just what.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here, and we're going to go ahead and take another phone call. Terry in Oregon, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. There's a lot of elderly people that still have a mortgage on their house, and they've got this anxiety about, you know, if the dollar is worthless, I'll stop getting my Social Security check, and I won't be able to pay my mortgage.
Oh, yeah.
Afraid they're going to get kicked out, and I heard one time that during a depression, they put a freeze on all foreclosures because people didn't have the money to pay their mortgage. I don't know. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, they did that at one time. And also when Nixon was president and the economy was starting to react very badly from the end of gold convertibility, there was a wage and price freeze that was imposed by the government. Whatever you were making today, you're going to go on making. Whatever you were paying for your rent, you were going to pay that same amount. And they sort of locked the economy in place until they could try and get things a little bit more stable. So, yeah, there's precedent for that before. Again, there's going to come a point where there are enough homeless people out there in the streets. It's going to trigger a reaction because you have younger Americans who have seen their parents grow up and they've got the mortgage and they're retired and they're in the home. And all of a sudden the bankers are kicking them out. That's going to do two things. It's going to enrage these people to see their parents being treated that way. And two, it's going to destroy any confidence that by playing by the rules, by doing what you're supposed to do, that you're going to have a stable retirement. Right now, the American people are very dispirited. They don't see hope for a better life down the road under the current regime.
Right. But the line of thought of these people is I'm getting a Social Security check now, and that's going to be cut off when the dollar's worthless. So they're not going to have anything coming in. And I tell them, you know, I said, you know, the banks don't want all these houses. They don't want to kick everybody out, and they got nobody to sell them to. So there might be some relief there.
Well, it may even happen faster than that because we're nearing the crossover point where Social Security is going to be paying out more than it takes in. And again, all of this goes back to the Bill Clinton administration, where he basically took the cash buildup for the baby boomers and spent it as general revenue. And he replaced them with these special treasury bonds so he could call it a loan, but they can't make good on those bonds. In fact, there are a lot of people who are saying the baby boomers are probably going to be the last generation that actually get benefits from Social Security. That's how dire the situation is.
Right. Okay, thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go here, getting on back to the news. Venezuela vows to continue with creating a new Congress despite threats from the United States of America. And this is President Nicolas Maduro has stated these plans for a new Congress despite the threats of a U.S. intervention or economic sanctions. And again, it's not the United States' business how Venezuela organizes its government. This is just another example of the United States going on in and say, you will run your country the way we want it run, and we want a single leader because that's going to be easier to replace with a puppet regime. If you've got a whole legislature, well, then it makes it much more difficult to take over your country. That's really what it comes on down to. All right, we're going to take a break for station identification. We'll be right back.
For you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, silent salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
This is RBN.
The Republic Broadcasting Network.